Everything I am is not all about me.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. So happy to be here. My name is Luann Linekin, and James stepped out for a second. He'll be back in a moment, and he'll say hello to everybody when he gets in. So Kingdom Recovery is a program based on biblical principles and 12-step programs, counseling, you know, mental health, and how all of it is focused, actually, is Christ-centered. If you put Christ in the center of all of it, he's the solution, and how it all can radically change your life when you have Christ in the center of whatever you're doing, your finances, therapy, 12-step programs, family, work areas. And so, because we're all suffering the same spiritual malady, which is the fall in the garden. Until we get born again, we're all Adamites. We're all sinners. And even when we get born again, some of us, and I think this is where our teachings, you know, as it relates to the Word of God and addictions and sinful behaviors, even not having very obvious addictions like maybe gambling or drugs or, things that people can see, maybe even eating disorders. Did I say that? Drinking, drugs, all that. Coffee. Yeah,
I don't know if that could be okay very obvious. There's so many.
But James is back. Say hi, James.
Hello. Okay. Anything so, you can't go without.
Yeah, anything you can't go without. But also, a lot of those outside things that we put in us. We have things when we come into, sometimes when we come into the kingdom, well, when we're born again, we need to face them. Or being a Christian doesn't mean we're not dealing with those things that cause us, that agitate us, that brainwash us, that manipulate us to behave or act on temptation and do those things, right? Because we're convinced, we believe a lie. Everything comes down to who I am in Christ. And that's the first step. And that's what we've been talking about. And I wanted to stay there for like a little bit because I think that's the most important step, you know, confessing that I am a sinner or that I have a problem or that I need help in an area of my life. Now, it may look really good on the outside, but we have to take a look on the inside of us. Are we managing our life properly? When there's any kind of mismanagement, God's not in it because he doesn't mismanage things. So whether it's your finances, whether it's your emotions, and that's where I was going with this, like feelings aren't fact, first of all. Yes, we have them. They're regulators so that we can know where we're at in our spiritual condition, actually. You know what I mean? We can know what realm is really influencing us. How's that? So if anger or impatience and bitterness and unforgiveness is ruling in my life, in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, then I'm actually faithing in the wrong realm, in the demonic realm, because I'm believing a lie that there's something there that's causing me to either respond this way, you know, act this way, or protect something. And God has me. I'm believing something else will be the solution. So step one is, you know, the fact that when we admit we were powerless over our problem or over whatever it is that's causing unmanageability in our life, okay? And our life has become unmanageable. That's what God says, that we must confess our sins to one another, our behaviors. When Adam fell, he was behind the bush. A lot of us want to hide behind bushes of finances, fame, position, children. You know, we want to go behind these things and say, no, look, these are good things going on. Nothing wrong here. I always describe it as when we were little kids, we cover our eyes. And you would say, I would do it to my own children. I can't see you. And they believed it.
She said cover her eyes.
Yeah, we would cover our own eyes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So like if I said it to one of my girls, right, and they were young, I would say, let's, you know, I'll count one, two, and they would cover their eyes. And I said, oh, I can't, where is she? I would walk around, make them believe I can't see them because they couldn't see me. They thought I really couldn't see them. Well, we do that in our sin sometimes. You know, we think if I cover it up, nobody can see it. But it comes out in the way we talk to each other, in the way we respond to things, in other areas of our life. So step one is we admitted we were powerless over our problem, whether it's alcohol, whether it's anger, whatever it is. It's a sinful behavior if it's not of God, okay? And that our lives had become unmanageable. And I wanted to just touch on sanctification just for a moment. It's the act of making or declaring something holy, purified, and for God's purpose, right? Free from sin, so that God, he's not going to entertain sin. He just isn't. He's already defeated it. When I'm entertaining sin, it believes that either I believe a lie about either I have to defeat it myself or it's defeating me and I'm a victim, or I'm going to keep doing this until I conquer it. I don't have to anymore. When we know who we are in Christ, that's why Jesus asked Peter, who do they say I am? I walked around my whole life believing the masses, whatever the mass, even about myself. This is why it's so important, because what's my reflection when I look in the mirror? Is it a Christ reflection? Is it of God, or is it of the world? Am I believing, you know, you're not smart, because I would always be out the first round in a spelling bee. You know, and that's the message.
It's like, I would never get up in one.
I know, but we had to. And, you know, like, so it would be humiliating, all these things. And I wore those things growing up. And then I tried really hard to hide those things by maybe being tough or, you know, doing other things to not let people see that weak part of what I believed about myself. You know, and that's what we do. And that's, you know, but people, especially Christ-minded, people wearing Christ-minded, discernment's not to protect me. I'm already protected by his blood. Discernment's to help you. I don't use discernment against somebody. Like, I'm not like, oh, I can't stay away from that. Or, oh, they're really sick. This is their problem. It's really to help that person so that maybe I can pray, maybe I can be a power of example. Maybe I can help disciple that person or just love on that person. You know, if I know what the weakness is or what they're being tormented by, then I have to, it's my responsibility because of my relationship with God to say, okay, God, how do you want me to love in this area and with this person? Okay.
And so discernment is like the most lacking gift in the body. And it's the most, I see the most people that think they got it.
Right.
And it's a spirit of suspicion. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you feel any love to pray for him? No, there, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
So obvious when it's not.
Amen. Gift. Amen. So when we do this, to be set apart or declare something as holy, it's a moral and spiritual excellence that God is looking for. And he doesn't, listen, he doesn't want us, he knows we're not perfect. He wouldn't have done what he did if we were, right? But he wants us in our most excellent way for his use, okay? And that means spiritually mature, perfect in your spiritual knowing, recognizing when you're stepping out into dark territories, being obedient to his word, spending time with him. These are things that help us grow spiritually, mentally, and mentally and physically with God here on earth. Okay? So it's really important. And he tells us that we need to walk out our sanctification. That means it's a daily reprieve. It's a daily responsibility that I seek his way every day to remain set apart and holy. I mean, I'm just driving here. Somebody was doing, you know, of course I want to justify. They were doing 25 and a 35. It doesn't even matter how much faster would I have been going. And I had to like, in my own mind, I got correction. Like, what was the big deal? Like, so they're like, you know, 5 miles, 6 miles going slower. What?
You've been fine if they're doing 45, breaking the law.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So I had to get right in my mind.
I just went the same thing today, too.
I mean, I'm serious. It's like subtle things like that can take you on a whole other path. And I had to get right in my mind. And then I'm looking, and she's an older woman. I'm like, well, you know, she might be slower in her instincts and stuff. So all these things help me to process and be a better person behind that person, you know? And I'm like, okay, God, you know, why am I rushing everybody? Because I'm not getting what I want, right?
I rarely get upset at somebody, but if I feel that, I immediately start praying for the person.
Amen.
And I know that puts that thing out.
Yeah. And that's something that we say in the big book, we pray for the one who's sick. Like when they are yelling at you or something, you're supposed to pray for that person that you have like aught or offense with.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying if they may not have done nothing wrong. Maybe they just cut out in front of me and they didn't see me.
But exactly.
If I feel any anger, I'll immediately.
Amen.
I command the enemy to stop blinding their eyes to the truth and God to send the labors to them.
Amen. Or just as an act of my will, I choose to be. I do that with the women in jail because it's hard, at least as an act of their will. They can make a choice in that moment because I know the stories are very complicated for some of them. You know, I was one of them. And to sit there, so sometimes I just say, okay, let's just, as an act of my will, repeat, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive this person. And that helps because at least it's a little mustard seed of something.
I've actually seen like where people need to forgive, it's blocking healing, and then just get them to say it. And they're like, oh, I'll never, you know, then you're finally, well, just repeat, just, you know.
Yeah.
And then them get healed.
Amen.
You're like, man, they didn't really.
Amen.
That one didn't really forgive, you know.
Yes. Amen.
So even just what you're doing is good on that.
Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking. We started last week with the unmanageability and how our lives are self-will and riot without Christ being in the center of each area of our life. Now, whether I knew it or not, okay, when I stopped doing certain things in my life, whether it was drinking or drugs, you know, acting out in certain ways, I was lining up with the decree of God. So whether I knew him or not, he's blessing that, okay? It wasn't until, and let me tell you, when I didn't know him and I was doing it to please people, places, and things in my life, to get things or so that people would, you know, not take what I had, you know, whether it was for my kids, to be a sober mom, you know, all the reasons in the world to do these things in my life, go back to school so I would, in my mind, be smart, you know what I mean? Like, I can do these things. They were exhausting. It wasn't freedom involved. Peace. True. And now listen, I'm not saying I didn't have moments of peace. Yeah. But it wasn't godly peace. It wasn't eternal peace, freedom. Today, the things that I do are not, I don't do works to get a feeling or a reward. I do works by my faith. It's faith motivates. And step one is all about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If I don't know that he's God, the Messiah, and I don't proclaim that, and that he's been raised from the dead and he lives, he's the only God that ever lives, that ever lived, got resurrected, right? There's no possibility for me. I'm still going to be living in the death of, this is it, this is all. How many times I've shared that I would stare in the mirror and be like, okay, who are you? Why are you here? I would ask these questions to myself. And today, through Christ, knowing him, I get to know what my purpose is by his plan and purpose for me. And I want to share that with everybody else. And being unmanageable is self-will run riot. It's when I'm not applying God's promises, his word, in an area of my life, whether I know him or not. I have to keep saying that because I had some of my life was really looked perfect, actually, you know, but it wasn't eternal. It was works. It was exhausting. It was tiring. It was martyrism in my life. You know, even raising my kids, I was a martyr, not a mother, for the beginning of their lives, because I felt like...
Were you a victim?
I felt like if they only knew who I could be when they didn't act a certain way. You know, when
with
they were
Rocco, after you're saved, you're like, you know, you don't know.
You don't know what you could have had. Like, what they're looking at me like, okay, you know. But in my mind, it's like they're lucky. They're everybody else was blessed because I was blessing them by being good.
The thing is, a lot of times it helped me, and it's because my mother would always say, "Well, how did you feel someone did that to you?" You know, so I always had that thought automatically, and I didn't realize other people didn't have that. But I think of saying something to someone in a situation. And I think, well, if someone said that to me, that'd be so dumb. But it seems so good for me to prove a point to them.
Right. No. Right. So unmanageability is difficult or impossible to manage, manipulate, or control. You have no control over a situation. This is why when we come in the rooms, we say we're powerless because we have no control. We're trying to control things through our own strength, through our own natural resources. If so, like I said, I went back to school. That will make me smart, you know, because I felt stupid growing up. So all these things, but I still didn't feel. I was always chasing that. I never felt completely. Today, it doesn't. I'm who God chooses me to be. I have exactly what I need in my whatever, in my, I guess, walnut head, whatever you want to call it, my brain, right, to fulfill his plan of purpose. If he wants more in there, he'll give it to me. Like, there's a freedom in that. So I don't have to try to prove it or gain it. He gives it to me as needed, which is beautiful.
And it's easy to learn stuff.
Yeah. You know, much easier when you let go and try it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty old before I realized, man, I could actually learn anything. I felt like I couldn't because school, I wasn't. Yeah. I wrote slow and I read slow, so I never got stuff done. So I didn't do good on my grades, but I remembered the stuff. It's like, you know, I read these books about the God's people. I remember all this stuff. How do you remember all that? I'm like,
that's
maybe
good.
If I read every word, I don't know, but I realized I could read, I could study electronics, I could study about anything if
and
I
remember
wanted it.
Yeah.
In school, I just dreaded, hated school, so I just.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you're saying that because that's like, okay, so that's a gift, it's a talent, and God will grow it, right? As we give it to him, he can grow it in ways we never thought we can. In ways that the world can't help us do it, you know? And the same thing with words. I was so afraid to be in spelling bees, and he uses words to educate me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. But this is what I'm saying. So when you really spend time with them, you get to see, oh my gosh, this is actually a gift, not a curse, you know, because it draws me in to learn about a word, to, you know, get all the, and that was the thing I was afraid of the most, because the enemy was trying to keep me away from words, because he knew it was God's plan and purpose for me to be bringing, drawing in closer to God. That's how I go closer to God, just by studying with him and doing those things. Same thing reading these books for you, because you do deliverance. And to know these testimonies and these stories, sometimes I'm amazed. I'm like, he's like, I know I told you this. And I'm like, you told me that like 3 years ago. How am I supposed to remember those things? And he knows these stories over and over. I'm like, okay. And then he says it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember. But go ahead, keep telling me. You know, and some people are like that. Some people can remember things like that, like, you know, when they're interested in something. Praise the Lord. So we want to go from a life of unmanageability to soundness, sound-minded, manageable. And how? Through obedience to Christ, to Jesus. So step one, I put a little thing here because God's talking about being rooted with me a lot, you know. And one of the things I learned being a counselor in the field of, you know, addictions and all different types of cases and stuff, and also being, you know, part of the church and discipling people. One of the things we always had to do is a biopsychosocial, and we do that when we fill out paperwork in a doctor's office. They just don't call it that, but they're asking you questions that basically discover or disclose your biopsychosocial. So the way I see it is step one is who I am. And that's the bio part of me, the biology, the, you know, and that's the identity of self. And that's when Christ Jesus comes in and says, put yourself into myself, be one with me. I'm your God, right? But if I don't identify him as that, I'm going to stay separate, just looking at myself, right? So I need to get myself, the inner man, born again. And you can't fix the old man. He's just broken. You want the new man identity. It's over. Like every time I go, I'm in the brokenness. I'm not in my new man identity. I'm not in Christ, because it, the whole idea is to be a new creation, not to go back to the old. Be a new creation in Christ. You're born again. You're back in the garden with Jesus, with God. Hallelujah. And so the step one is who I am. And if I know who I am in Christ, right, in Jesus, and he says, who do they say I am? So we're going to go more into detail of that, but I just wanted to give the first three steps because they're really coming to believe, all right? And then step two is how I am. That's the psych. That's the psycho. That's the mind. How am I thinking? Where are my moral beliefs coming from? Where am I?
Psycho?
Yeah. Biopsycho. Psychological. Okay. Psychosocial, right? Psychological ideas. Where are they coming from? Where are my thoughts coming from? Where are my ideas? Where are my emotions? Where are they rooted? Where did I get them? My ethic belief systems, my moral values, all these things. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, step two. And let me just read. So step two is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So I need to come to be born again and receive. So I accept Jesus Christ and then receive the Holy Spirit so that now my mind can start to renew, get new moral values, new in the new man identity. Hallelujah, right? And then the social is why I am. What's the purpose? That's your reproduction, your production area. That's relationships. That's God's, why did he create me? What's the purpose of my life? And that's Father God, because it's in his image and likeness. It's his will be done here on earth. But if I don't know what it is, I'll never live fulfilling the purpose that God has for me. Okay, so step one is who I am. Step two is how I am. How am I believing? How am I acting? How am I thinking? And step three is why I am. Why am I here? And they're totally related to the fourth step, which is your resentment, your fears, and your harms done. If I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I can't receive the Holy Spirit and I can't be in the presence of God, the Father. Okay, I don't have God in the fullness. I'm operating lopsided, unmanageable in areas of my life. And I did this until I received Jesus Christ, my whole life. And I got sober in 92, 91, around that time. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't have Christ-centered. I believe God, but I was lopsided my whole life. I was, you know, not walking straight. So now today, when I feel lopsided, because I know what it feels like, it's my responsibility to say, whoa, 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 I'm limping. Or things are looking a little upside down because I'm walking on my head, you know, and I have to straighten that out. But today I get to straighten out the crown. You know, the crown gets knocked off a little. So, so everything in the way God gave Bill W. the program, the outline of the program, is very similar to the way God gave us his will, his word, his testament. It's the same thing. He just did it in a language for a certain group, for a certain type of people. But once you break through the barrier of that addiction, I used to say there's something beyond AA. I'm missing it. I would tell my therapist this as I was being a therapist for other people. I would say there's something I'm missing it. And she's like, you're going to write a book. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. I'm like, no, I'm missing something. I felt like I would always hit this wall. And because I didn't have the Holy Spirit, he walks through walls. He can go through anything. There are no limits in the Holy Spirit. He's eternal. He can go through anything. There's nothing stopping but myself, self is restricted with time, with limits. But in himself, it's unlimited resources, unlimited. He can translate you to where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Right? So how it works is the essence of the whole program. It's if without 1, 2, and 3, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you can't really do the program or any kind of therapy or any kind of healing in your life. I don't care what religion. You can't do it without Jesus Christ. You can't. He's the solution. He's the way. He's the only way back to the garden. We didn't get thrown out to get punished. We got thrown out so that we didn't have to live forever and ever and ever and ever in a curse. So God was protecting us by keeping us out of there, because if we would have ate from the tree of life, it would have been eternal suffering for us. So he needed to get us out of there, and he protected us in doing so. He gave us a supply, right? He covered it, Adam and Eve, to go out there until he can fulfill the solution, Jesus suffering for us and giving us back eternal life in the garden with him. Praise the Lord. So in order to know how the power works in our life to manage good results, in order to know that, we need to know who Jesus, who the power is that's at work in us. He said, I must go and send you another comforter, someone to lead you and guide you and teach you and rebuke you when you know you're not in line with what God has for you, so that he will never leave us or forsake us. But he's seated at the right hand of the Father, which means Jesus is not coming back here until end times, until the last, you know, revelation to do it again or to save us. He already saved us. He sent us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in him, to dwell with us here, not only with us and upon us, but in us, which is amazing because no one had that until Jesus lived, died, suffered, buried, and resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit so that he could be seated at the right hand of the Father and reign. Hallelujah. So all things for good comes from managing according to God's plan, right? I can do the good works of the Lord Jesus only with the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without him, because in my own self, I start to want to desire the things that make me happy, that make me get what I want, like kingship in my own self. I am a king of of the great king. But that means I'm listening to my king and I'm fulfilling, because I can be a king to money and that be my king. And then I'm going to be listening to the way I can get money, or I can be the king of resentment. I can be my king. And then I'm going to listen to all the spiritual moral values of resentments in order to fulfill staying resentful. But I choose today to have a loving love as my king. God is love. And what does love look like? What does love sound like? What does love act like? You know, instead of just saying I'm sorry, I say be you're sorry. Be love. Don't just say I love you to people. Be I love you to people. And the only way we can do that is by knowing love himself, because he's the one that will lead and guide us into how to do that. So it works. And this is what I was doing without works was what I was doing without faith. I was faithing in the wrong thing, without the faith of Jesus Christ. I was doing works on a different type of faith. But this is what works is: activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result, a task or tasks to be undertaken, something a person or thing has to do, be engaged in physical or mental activity. It's funny how it's the soul and the body that is being addressed here, because when your spirit is, either your spirit's going to be dead or alive, born again or as the old nature, your inner man. Who's dictating in there? Are you letting your body dictate everything that goes on, or your spirit man? Now, mental activity in order to achieve a result, do works. That's the explanation that I gave before. That in order, I thought the solution to feeling stupid was to go back to school and get smart, which doesn't. You're never going to be smart enough. I mean, I'm an example. I never felt smart enough. There was always somebody going to be smarter. And so when you start to know who he is, right, and then you can identify and follow his way and know him that way, and he's in you, and your identity becomes his identity, and his identity becomes your identity, I should say, and the way his ways become the way you want your ways to be, and his heart is your heart, then everything starts to change in your life. Your views, the way you perceive things, the way you receive things, the way you grow things, everything, the way you manage your life. So Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So until I understood my purpose, and it happened in many different ways in my life. The first one was when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I moved here and I went to a meeting. I realized that, because I was very depressed. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't even want to, I really didn't want to live. And I had a little 4-year-old. My girls were, you know, one was in college, the other two were getting ready to leave high school, but they wanted to go back to their dad. I felt very failed. I felt like a failure. I felt like, what did I do? Why did I move here? I knew nobody. And it was just a really dark place for me. And I remember saying, I don't know what else to do, God. I don't want to go down this pit again. Because there were several times in my sober career, I'll say in my dry career, that I went down, you know, into depression. Mm-hmm. And the next day I went to a meeting. I got humble because I wasn't going to go there because, you know, I was going to be a newcomer. I don't want to be a newcomer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's ego, pride. Don't think people know who I am. And I went, and it was a prayer meditation meeting. And I never even... when I first got sober in St. Francis in Fort Lauderdale, we had a chapel and it was scripture and program. And I never forgot the impact that that had in my life. I didn't understand it was a Christian-based thing. I didn't. I went to this thing for years and I had no idea. That's how like self-consumed I was, that it was a Christian-based program. You know, I thought it was like religion. It was a religion, religious-based program. I put everything under that thing, you know? I didn't know the difference. So I stepped out. I was confused. I was like, wait a minute. I've never seen a meeting like this. And it was a 24-hour book. And I looked up in the sky and I said, oh, my God. You're what I'm missing. Because I kept saying, what am I missing? What am I missing? The night before, I'm screaming. Like, I feel like I'm in a pit in my bathroom. I can visualize being in the dark hole, looking up, saying, what am I missing? You know, like, really upset with God. I've done everything I could possibly do. I'm so done being in this place. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, my God, it's you. And, like, a little light went off. Still didn't know Jesus Christ the way I know him today. But I opened, there was an awareness that happened to me where it only takes a little bit, right? It's like when we say, as an act of my will, we think we're being like, you know, rebellious. As an act of my will, I'll choose to forget. Okay. Mm. And then God shines on that, you know? And then if you pay attention, because you have people following up with you, this is important, you know, when you bring somebody into the kingdom, into born again, it's important to follow up or to stay connected or to lead them to someone that they can be connected to, because they'll lose it. They will. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll snatch it right out of them, the word, you know.
You see with the sinner's prayer, a lot of people, this whole thing, you say a prayer and it's all, you know, and you live like no change and I mean, there's a ditch on both sides because there's so many people that you lead through the sinner's prayer and it's the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then they grow and then they become, you know, and then there's some that don't. But it doesn't mean you don't mm-hmm. lead anybody through it because, you know, it's just a little light, like you said, you're just playing.
Yes. Amen. 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 And then there are people like you said, that stay in the fellowship, but someone can put out their light, you know, and they get disheartened. Even though they say Christians, they're disheartened because someone maybe told them tongues is not, you know.
Yeah, I see a lot of God people that, through the years, I always seem to notice people get in church and they love it when they first in there. Mm-hmm. And then they want you to come to their church. Okay, you can come to mine 1 week. Well, no, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then seems like about a year in, between a year and 2 years, God, I feel like I can't say for sure why God does it. I always felt like he's trying to, once people pray and he'll start showing them things wrong in the church. And all of a sudden they don't ever go back. Like, he's showing you that so you can pray.
Amen.
Because nobody's perfect.
Right.
That's maturity.
Amen. Amen. So, so we want to walk in the power and with authority. And the authority is the sound mind that God wants to give us. We can't use authority recklessly. You know, so we have to learn God's word because it's his word that gives us the authority to be able to speak his word in his name, in the name of Jesus. Jesus spoke it, right? The will and testament of God. In order to represent, we need to be of sound mind. We can't be speaking one way and acting another against what we're doing. How could we be powers of example? Jesus didn't do that. And it's hard, you know. So we want to check ourselves, too. So let me see. Manage your thoughts, words, feelings, and behaviors. That's what we want to do when we're in sound mind. We want to manage ourself first. He's not going to give me a ministry of with 500 people if I can't manage my own self. One. I'm reckless all the time with what I do, what I say. And not only in behavior, in word, you could hurt people. You know, we want to tend to our words. We want to take captive the thought, bring it to the obedience of Christ, his word, and say, does this line up? You know, how am I supposed to address this? God will help you. That's what he's here. He's the helper. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you to help you so that you can stay sanctified and holy and be usable to God. Okay? So unmanageable is, like I said, it's difficulty, impossible to manage. That's when self-will is running riot in an area. It doesn't have to be in every area of my life. There's lots of areas. I just shared about driving. There are some times where it becomes self-will run riot on the road for me. You know, but I'm being more and more aware of it. And that's because I brought it to God. And I want to do something about that. So, and then I still have a choice when he reminds me, because 2 seconds later I can do it again. I'm like, oh, you just told me that. I got to say, I'm sorry. You know, it's like 2 seconds later. Sometimes it is. That's the beauty of an eternal life. There's no time. You can start your day right now, you know, but when I'm in the natural, I restrict myself. Oh, I messed up. I can't turn it back. Who cares? Start this moment. Who cares? Start this moment. We have a now God. It's a now moment. So even if you messed up an hour ago, a second ago, stop it. Just, God, I'm yours. Forgive me. I said things I shouldn't have said. And he'll give you directions as you go along. Maybe you do have to tell that person you're sorry. Maybe you need to do something else. God, it's your relationship with God. He knows exactly how to speak to you, how to get your attention, but you have to seek him. You have to look for him and his ways. He'll give it to you. Okay? So a sound mind, an understanding of one's actions, and a reasonable knowledge of their family, possessions, and their surroundings. You have to know your boundaries, you know, and what God has given you to manage. And mind your business on the things that he doesn't give you to manage. That was difficult in the beginning for me. Because I'm a control person. Well, I was. I'm not that. Anyway, not that person anymore. But it was, you know. Because And especially when you come out of the darkness into the light. It doesn't mean that just because you came out this way. That person needs to come out that way. You know. That's another lesson. And we'll teach that one another time, too. So your thoughts can be shielded from the lies of the devil. Ridiculous, unfounded, and crazy thoughts that have tried to grip your mind in the past. All you have to do is grab a hold of God's word and his spirit. Just, he says, keep his word, his commandments in your heart. You grab a hold of them. You don't let go. All right? And he will come at that lie with truth for you. He'll give it to you, bring it to the forefront of your mind, and you'll speak that truth over that lie. All right, so who do you say I am is a personal relationship, not a religious working relationship, a personal working relationship based on faith, trust, love, believing, not based on religious performance, you know, self-satisfying, self-promotion. If I am not believing by faith that I am a new creation in Christ, I will submit to the world's views of who I am and how I should respond in all my affairs. That's the choice. Either I turn my will over to God and respond the way God's word says I should respond and speak and think and talk and act, or I will believe the world's views of who I am, who I should be, how I should act, and I'll act according to that. In Matthew 16, 13, 20, it says, Peter declared, this is Peter's declaration about Jesus. Let me see what time it is. Okay. So when Jesus came to a region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. So only the Holy Spirit, only the heavenly realm, only the spiritual realm can disclose. That's why he told Nicodemus, you're so in the natural, you can't, even when I do something spiritual, you can't see it. So You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. So upon that statement that Jesus is the Messiah, if you do not believe Jesus is God, you're going to be hitting brick walls your whole life. Because that's it. It's declaring him as your Lord and Savior and believing with your heart, not just speaking it. Okay? Your mind can say anything. Your mind can be deceived. But your heart has what you truly believe in it. And even if you believe lies, it's in your heart. You got to renew the heart. You got to change those hard places.
There's a lot of fake Jesus out there now. This Christ consciousness and psychedelics.
Right.
A lot going on with that.
And all the... I'm going to just finish this.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. So, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Okay, so let me just say this. So when he says whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. So whatever we do in the natural, he will do in the spirit. Right? Will happen in the spirit. And whatever we don't allow in the natural will not, the enemy cannot penetrate that. But even if we don't allow it in the natural, God can't penetrate it either. He's telling us a major key about our authority here and dominion. So we say, oh, why is God doing this? Well, what are you doing to prevent or to cause, it's not God causing the curse on your life. It's your decision to stay in maybe a behavior, the verbal words you're using that are keeping you in the rain. We'll say rain, like rain pouring down, raining. If anger is your king, he's raining and the rain is coming down on your life. We get to choose what we loosen and bind. He gave us that. That's a spiritual declaration. That's a spiritual law that in the natural, if we behave a certain way in the natural, the spiritual responds to it. If we behave a certain way spiritually, the natural responds to it. We have to know our rights, our citizen rights, our family member rights as a royal family to the king of heaven. He sent us here to expand his kingdom. When a king sends his child out, they are the king or queen of their territory. When we're back in his presence, we are his princes and princesses. But when he sends us out, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming here. He sent us out to be kings and lords of territory to represent our king. Who's your king? Who do you say he is? Who do you say your God is? Does your life look like you're chasing and you're fighting or even beautifying yourself in riches of the world, or is it God? So we have to look at ourselves in the mirror, turn the mirror around. Sometimes, you know, we want to point our fingers, and they say there's three pointing back. Well, when we're holding the mirror, we're looking, you know, they're looking at them. We want them to look at themselves, but we really need to turn the mirror around, look at ourselves. Hallelujah. Right? So we're going to look at this scripture much more deeper. In verse 13 and 14, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist and some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. During that time, you have to understand, and I was telling the girls in the jail this week that I was trying to get them in the mindset of, like, prophets in those days were really of God. Like, God spoke. These people, they were like the news of the day. God spoke, and everybody came because that's the way God spoke in those days, like, through one person, you know, at the time. So it was very real to them. when the Lord said. You know, like now we're like, ah, everybody wants to be a prophet. Right. So we ignore. That's why we have to have a personal relationship with him so much more. You know, and I was, and then, so they were able to open up and understand, like, this was big deal, big news when God, same thing here. Like, they were idolizing. I went to Italy. I went to Israel. When you go to these places, they have little, in the mountains, they have little carve-outs with saints, candles. I mean, these people, they go there and they pray to these saints. This is what was going on there. That's why God asked him. That's why Jesus says, who do people say I am? Because they were very, it was very common to have many gods. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it is like a little bit like now, but.
They're coming back.
Yeah.
Resurrecting them.
But it wasn't as separate as it is now. You know what I mean? Like, it was very common. Like, everybody was, you know. So they were doing, this is why he said, who do the people say? And in the Greek time, the gods were all in the cliffs and the shrines that they built before Jesus. Before I knew Jesus, I was doing that too. Because in AA, they said, a God as you understand him. So I didn't want to go back to my religious God as a child. You know, the Catholic school God. So I went with the masses, with the herd. Like, okay, I'll do New Age. God is peace. God is love. Right? They said God could be the doorknob. Well, it takes you to open the doorknob, so you still got the power.
You know? The trash can.
You know what I mean? And it was very confusing, and it kept me off the path that I needed to be going on, you know, and it keeps a lot of people off the path to Christ, because that's what the enemy wants to do. And they're not meaning, it's not like these people are meaning to do this stuff. It's not them. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle. You know, some of these people have good lives. They do. And they believe something that's not Jesus, and they're okay with it. The thing is it eternal? You know, and it's not. They're not, and most of them don't believe. They believe like this is, you live many lives. If you talk to people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, you could see where it goes sideways. Just talk to them long enough, and you'll see where it goes in a sideways way, where they either believe like you get many lives, or this is purgatory, or, you know, like all these different things. So I did do that. Doorknobs, mountains, the AA group, so I was just repeating what I was doing out there in a safer place, basically, right? And then, or even the universe, but he created the universe. I know Genesis, like I know Genesis today, you know? So, and my parents, their teachings, you know, whatever it was, I went along with the elders around me, people that walked before me, and it was confusing, you know. Am I supposed to? Yeah, we're good. Okay. And I'm finding that there are more people out there that have suffered the same way, that have been led astray. Even when they come in, it's a great opportunity when someone is a newcomer and they come into the program. So being a sponsor or a disciple for me is exciting, because you want to get them to see Christ in these steps, Jesus Christ. And when we do our meeting on Mondays, it's really nice because people come and we freely talk about Jesus Christ. Now, anybody can talk about anybody they want, but it's a place where people know we're talking about Jesus Christ. Like most places, they're not as welcoming. Mm-hmm. So it's a good opportunity. So it's Monday at noon that we do that meeting. And it's really good because we get to share how Christ has changed our views of even being in the program. You know, I'm a member. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I'm a new creation. I'm a member. God did not make a mistake when he put me there. I just didn't know what my purpose was until now. It was to go back into those places. And when I first started, I was going to say that I was I didn't know my purpose. And, you know, one of the biggest things is when people either choose God or recovery, you know what I mean? And he wanted to do hand in hand with that. There are so many people sick and suffering in there that are still sick and suffering even without certain behaviors, that because they don't have him. And I believe that that was an assignment for me, that God gave me that assignment. So when I found Jesus and accepted him in my heart, I did not leave what I was called to do by going to those rooms. A lot of people leave and then they say, oh, I found the solution. But the whole idea is to give the solution away to other people that were just as lost. I mean, I was lost for many years in there, you know, not knowing he was the solution. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this scripture next week, and we'll wrap up how unmanageability, how, you know, having Jesus in our life makes us manageable and of sound mind. And we'll get more into details of, you know, Jesus is the way. I have little things. Jesus is the truth and Jesus is the life, you know, and how step one is all about Jesus. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ, the other steps are just works. It's just going through the motion and then eventually hitting that brick wall again, saying, why? I'm doing everything the way I'm supposed to. Why is my life still feel limited? I don't know how else to say it. I guess I would say it like that, you know? And even when we accumulate things, they're not satisfying because we're doing them for the wrong reasons. We're doing them to try to fix something that God already did. And once we understand that, we get the freedom to just walk by faith and do it unto him to love. And then the steps and therapy and work and family life all changes when he's leading and guiding us in them and his word. So with that, James, did you want to say anything?
No.
I know I talked a lot. Ooh, I was going on and on and on. I'm sorry, everybody, but this is what I do. Listen, you can call me 631-745-7980. I have Pastor Tom's books if you want a book. You're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery 89.9. We're on every Friday at 5 live, unless, of course, something else is going on. Then we'll put on a previous recording. But we are live, so if you have any questions, you can call me. And until next week, we say shalom, shalom. We agape everybody. And we are so happy that you tuned in today. And that you allow God to just bless your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.